a guy who knows all about poetry, gardening, all kinds of stuff. Tom Casper, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners. Morning there, sunshine.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
The sun was shining yesterday.
Yeah, it was beautiful. We've had a lot of sunshine lately.
And I was out on the back setting porch watching the iris spears growing like in front of my eyes. Just that little tiny bit of rain that we got yesterday cheered them up so much.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit of rain, and it sounds like maybe a little bit more today. I was noticing that this morning, too, just looking in my yard, how the grass is starting to green up, and the perennials, like you mentioned, with the irises are starting to pop up,
and of
all
course,
that good stuff is starting to happen.
Larry Weber reminds us that the greening reduces the fire danger. Also,
that's right.
And so that's really important because that was starting to get really scary with the dry conditions and all of the high winds. So a mutual gardening friend of ours reports in all caps, two sentences. The deer are eating everything. I love them. So this apparently is one of those. This is one of those where you've got two competing philosophies, two competing interests, and I said deer sprinkler. The deer sprinkler, because then, you know, then they get like a little drink of water, and it's like a little deer car wash thing too. They can you know, they can just sort of show up and get a little bath and take off.
Right. Although, you know, they're not, the deer sprinklers aren't intended, of course, to
wash,
bathe,
deer,
and comfort those deer.
Darn
they're
it.
Really intended to deter those deer and work pretty effectively. If folks haven't seen them in action, they are a nice addition to the garden. Without, if you don't want to use pesticides or deterrents that can be very, very odoriferous, you can use it, something like a deer sprinkler, and it's basically just a battery-operated motion sensor that instead of turning on a light, it turns on a sprinkler.
Oh, so like if you wanted to do like one of those smart doorbell things that's also motion a sensor, you could, if you wanted to like play pranks on your friends and neighbors, you could put one by the door.
Yes, you could.
And then when people showed up, they get sprinkled.
Yeah, it's your yard.
How much fun is that?
And then videotape it and send it into YouTube and wherever else.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
America's Funniest Home Videos. And, of course, that shows you how our generation, we'd videotape it.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah. Somebody take a video.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody.
Well, oh, yeah. However, you will notice that in your phone, that it still says videos, and that's where you go to find the videos that you've taken.
That's
so
right.
Tell me, this buddy's got a bunch of dogs. The deer are completely unconcerned with the dogs, which is hurtful to them. How do deer in your yard feel about the Yorkies, the mighty Yorkies, maybe 5 pounds together on a good day?
Well, one of them, he's actually pushing about 10 pounds. He's a little porky Yorkie. The other one's about 6. So, yeah, she's closer to 5. But the deer could care less about those two little dogs at the end of their leash. They know as far as the leash will go, and they sit just outside of that and laugh at these two vicious little yard patrolies.
Uh-huh. So. The fun police. All right.
Yeah.
So we can't count on, unless you've got a slightly bigger dog, you sure can't count on the little noisemaker size, the fun size dogs. You can't count on them to do the job. So the deer sprinkler is a great option. And then Milorganite was the name of the stuff I couldn't remember.
Right. Yeah. And I was going to mention that. That's a product that people can sprinkle all over their lawns, in their flower beds, things like that. It's a, you know, without being too graphic, it's a byproduct of the Milwaukee sewage treatment plant. So it has, again, a bit of a smell to it that goes away after about 3 or 4 days. But as the deer browse, they you know, down at that level, they get it into their nostrils and that smell into their nostrils, and they don't like it. So it works pretty well, and it's also has some nitrogen in it, so it's also a good fertilizer, natural fertilizer for your lawn and your flower beds and stuff like that. So that's a good choice. There are some sprays out, too. Now, for your friend that sent you the message, now is a very critical time in that deer control for the entire season, because unfortunately, once the deer get that taste of certain things in your yard, it becomes pretty hard to deter them, even with sprays and sprinklers and things like that. So getting out now as stuff is starting to come up and getting it sprayed will have season-long positive effects on your garden and your ability to enjoy your garden. So
now is the time for the fencing and the potions and the sprinklers and stuff.
And Milorganite, stuff like that. Yeah, because deer, you know, they're going to go. They like us, are creatures of habit. And if they come into a yard and it's uncomfortable because it doesn't taste good, because it doesn't smell good or whatever, or because the sprinkler doesn't make them feel good, they go on to your neighbors or somebody down the street. So by directing them early that this is a place that they're not wanted, they're pretty good at taking a hint. So as long as you get that hint early.
Someday I'm going to live out in the Tulies so that I can deer-proof the garden, the wildflower garden area, and I can put out hay and grain in the front yard. And so if you want something to eat right here, this is for you.
Yeah, but you gotta do that.
but you gotta live out in the Tulies because they don't want you to do that kind of thing in town. And there are a lot of regulations. You know, they don't want you baiting deer and stuff. But of course, once I live out in the Tulies, the only thing I'm gonna hunt are people who want to hunt on my land.
I think you should start a new series.
This is like Genesis.
The people Lisa wants to hunt if they come onto their her land.
Genesis of a serial killer. Yeah. All right. So, hey, so much going on outside. What should we be doing, looking at, planting? Oh, my gosh. Everybody's doing the happy dance. We're going to have 70s this week, and everybody's going to go insane. What should we do? We want to do stuff outside.
So real quick, last week, of course, was Earth Day. And first, before we get into the other stuff, I want to remind everybody to celebrate Earth Day every day.
Right.
They're about this planet. And we as gardeners and folks who garden really know the importance of that, of caring for the land, caring for that soil that gives us or shares with us its bounty, whether it's vegetables or fruit or flowers or whatever it happens to be in our garden. So caring for the land and being a good steward as part of being a good Earth Day role. So anyway, lots going on in the garden, folks. If they can get in, now's a good time to start tilling. With it a little bit drier, they can get their tiller in. And actually, you can start planting some of the cool season crops in the garden. Some of your greens, spinach, things like that can go in now. Even some of the brassicas can go in. And you can start getting a crop going, and certainly no better way to start thinking about or moving into spring than to getting your hands into the soil and getting that dirt on your shoes and seeds in the ground. And things like lettuce and spinach sprout pretty quickly, so folks can, probably in 3 weeks, can start enjoying some of the fruits of that labor, so to speak, in harvesting some of those early season greens and stuff like that. So getting that going. Still, of course, a little early to plant any of the warm season crops like beans, cucumbers, any of the vining crops, tomatoes, peppers. Still probably at least a month too early to put those in the ground outside unless you have a way of protecting them. Still very susceptible to, and we have a great potential of still getting frost this time of year, so holding off on that and planting flowers for a little while. But certainly other things can be done. we're probably getting to the point for folks who have strawberries where maybe in the next week or so they can start pulling that straw off their strawberries, where they've protected those buds from the real cold temperatures. Well, maybe a week or so with that. So really a lot going on in the garden. If you haven't gone out yet and cut down last year's garden, if those stalks are still standing, now's a good time to get that those out of there, because, as you mentioned, starting to see those irises expand and grow.
Okay, so here's a question for you. My wonderful first year of my wildflower garden, it is a mess. I could stand to put down some more mulch where the path is supposed to go, and there's a bunch of stuff I could clear out. And I said, Carol Andrews, I said, I should clean up my garden. She says, not yet. She said, chrysalises and habitat for little, like, bugs and, like, things. She said to wait for my wildflower garden now. So are the bugs done yet?
Yeah, you know, for the most part, they're going to be out of there if you're worried about that. So, you know, you have to kind of play that just right. Play probably isn't the right word, but because you want to get that stuff out before the new stuff starts coming in, because then you risk the chance of damaging that.
The new growth. Yeah.
The new growth, yeah. And what you can do if you're worried about those chrysalises and other bugs and things like that in that is you can cut that stuff down and just place it off to the side. You know, you don't have to throw it into bags or whatever you want or whatever you might do with your spent stalks and last year's growth. You can just place it off to the side and allow if there are any insects left in that have overwintered in that, they have a chance then to emerge.
Ooh, so exciting.
If you do clean out, pardon me?
I said, it's so exciting. I'm sorry, yeah. I couldn't help myself there. I just had a little outburst.
Yeah, you know, and there's of course lots of seeds still left in those, so late winter feeding still for the birds. I'm sure I listened to Larry last week, and it's fun listening to week what's happening in and around his yard. But yesterday, we were pretty excited up at our greenhouse, had an oriole at our feeder.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is the first time this time of year, or the earliest I've seen one. But he was up at our feeder yesterday afternoon. So, and certainly beautiful birds to listen to. So we're seeing a lot of different birds coming through feeders and stuff like that. So one of the reasons you would want to keep that little stock standing, as Carol had mentioned, is there's still lots of seeds in there for those birds to feed on and things like that as they sort of wait for the insect crop to explode. So,
well, in that case, I do have feeders in the front, so that's legal to still feed. So that's all good. Let me ask you one question fast, and then I'll let you go. I have milkweed seeds that I took from pods, and they've been drying and, I don't know, doing whatever milkweed seeds do since late last summer. Do you dig holes and plant them?
Yes.
I didn't start them inside, because it's complicated, but I didn't start them inside because big cats, that's all I'm going to say. so do you go out and you could, like, do a little of the tidy up, a little of the clearing stuff, and then maybe you put a little hole, you put a little dirt on top, or do you just sort of sprinkle them willy-nilly and hope for the best?
Well, you can do any of the above. You can sprinkle them and hope for the best. That's really basically how they move or, you know, grow from area to area. Chances are much less that they'll germinate that way, but you will get some to germinate. Now, if you were to go and, as you first mentioned, clear the last year's stuff out of the way and scratch the soil and put the seeds down and sprinkle a little bit of soil on top of those, you're going to have a much greater rate of success for those seeds. So now, you know, I mean, if you don't care if you have 500 seeds and you know, five of them sprout because you just sprinkled them willy-nilly, and you're okay with that, then that's good. If you are hoping for better results, doing a little bit more, getting that soil a little bit prepared and those seeds in contact with the soil and a light covering, you're going to have a much greater chance of a rate of germination and growth. So,
and monarchs are still endangered. I mean, everybody, so many people in this area work so hard at wildflower and monarch habitat, and milkweed's the only thing they eat, and they work so hard at it, and it's fabulous, but monarchs are still endangered. So if you're going to plant milkweed, you got to try to make it count.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
I will get serious about the milkweed this week.
Yes. Yeah, now's a great time, you know, or in the next week or so, that soil's just starting to warm up. If you're, like, in your spot and you're sunny backside of the house, that soil's already pretty warm, getting those seeds in. They'll probably germinate within a couple of weeks, and you'll be enjoying more milkweed and more butterflies in your yard.
I'm so excited.
Summer, so.
I might have to put in a separate garden just for milkweed.
Hello, who is this? Did you put Lisa back on the line?
Look, the first time I tell you I'm planting a vegetable, that's the time you know the pod people have come and taken me. Right now it's just the milkweed pod people, and they're not quite so scary.
They're not so scary.
TK, let's talk again in a couple of weeks. Thanks a gazillion. It's always so much fun to talk with you.
Sounds good. Nice talking to you.
Tom Casper, our longtime host for Tips for Our Hardy Gardeners, a regular feature of every other Tuesday right here on KUMD.